Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study, adult Bible study. We are glad that you are here. Praise God. Are you ready to get into the Word of God together?
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We're going to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 17. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that by your Spirit you unfold and unveil the truths of your Word to our spirits. Glory to God. And we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it's life-changing, that it feeds our spirit. We thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We thank you that the Word of God is profitable to teach us, to instruct us for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we thank you that the Word of God feeds our spirit. We desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And we also thank you that your Word is the truth that makes us free. And so we thank you for all of this, and we depend upon you and rely upon you both to minister the Word and to hear the Word. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 17, verse numbers 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant. Everybody say covenant. Between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, and I will multiply you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you rather exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Verse number 1, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram when he was 99. Abram means exalted father. He was a prince. He was, you know, like a king, really. And it means exalted father. And he says, I am Almighty God. Well, the word Almighty God there is the word El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. Praise God. And, of course, El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one, or the God who is more than enough. And we've all heard that because that's what people will commonly say. And that's right, the all-sufficient one, or the God who's more than enough. I think the English translation of Almighty God is a good translation of El Shaddai. Because if you look into the definition of El Shaddai, you'll find out that it really emphasizes three different things. El Shaddai emphasizes his matchless power. He is all-powerful. He has no rival, like the song says. He has no equal. He has unrivaled power. He has all power. He is Almighty God. But the word Shaddai, El Shaddai together, also emphasizes that he is a covenant-keeping God. It emphasizes his faithfulness to keep his word. You know, a covenant is a sacred, solemn agreement, and God is a covenant-keeping God. He always keeps his word. All the scriptures that say he's faithful are emphasizing this aspect of El Shaddai. But then the word El Shaddai also emphasizes that his sustaining presence. You know, you could translate it the breasty one. You know, a mother feeds her child from her breast. She sustains and succors her child and protects her child and provides for her child. So he is Almighty God who has all power, who sustains us, who provides for us, who cares for us, who blesses us, who always keeps his covenant promises to us. He always keeps his word to us. He is more than enough. He is the all-sufficient one, and he is a mighty covenant-keeping God. That's El Shaddai. Praise God. And he tells Abraham, of course, you got to go back to Genesis chapter 12 and other places, but he tells Abraham, I will bless you, and I will multiply you. And he's going to do this through Sarah, not through Hagar, not through some other woman, but through his wife Sarah. He says, I will multiply you, amen, exceedingly. My covenant, my solemn, sacred oath to you is that you shall be a father of many nations. And then he said, I have made you a father of many nations. And he changed his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of many nations, or as my cross reference says and literally says, a father of a multitude. A father of a multitude of nations, or as we say, a father of many nations. And he said in verse number 5, no longer shall your name be Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, a father of a multitude of nations, for I have made you. Not I'm going to make you, but I have made you a father of many nations. Amen. Glory to God. And Abraham was, at this time, and point in time, he was the father of many. He was the father of a multitude. And God knew that because, you know, he knew, he understood his power. He understood that Abraham was 99 years old and was considered dead as far as having another child was. He knew that Sarah was 90 years old and that she was barren and that it was basically impossible for them to ever have a child. But God knew that they would have Isaac. But, you know, just because they had one son didn't mean he was the father of many nations. Just because they had grandchildren didn't mean he was the father of many nations. But God said, I have made you a father of many nations, because he knows the beginning from the end. He saw and he was, in fact, from that moment forward, the father of many nations. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And God was right. Amen. God was right. Now, according to what you could see in the natural, God was wrong. But God was right, wasn't he? See, we look back after the fact. In retrospect, we say, God was right. He was the father of many nations. Right then, he was the father. Abraham is the father of many nations. And he was the father of many nations right then. Glory to God. Abraham was the father of many nations. What God said was right. And what you could see in the natural was wrong. I don't mean what you saw, you misunderstood or you were deceived. No, what you actually saw was wrong. What medical science actually said was wrong. And what God said was right. Wasn't it? I said, wasn't it? Sure it was. Praise God. And it should really not should be a difficult concept for us to grasp, but Almighty God, who is all-knowing, who is all-wise, who is all-powerful, who always keeps his word, so when he says a thing, it's so, and is not bound by human reasoning and human intelligence and human science, knows and sees things far beyond what our little peanut brains can see. So why would we challenge that? Amen. That doesn't make any sense, does it? What he says is always what's really true. Glory to God. So really, as we say, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. We should always accept what God's word says over natural facts and over human wisdom and over impossible-looking situations or feelings. I mean, why wouldn't you? God just knows about a million things more than we know. He sees things that we don't see. He understands things that we don't understand. He understands things that even human science doesn't understand. And so from his perspective, when he says something, it's right. Amen. I said amen. So actually, in the light of who God is, the all-knowing, all-powerful, covenant-keeping one, the one that always keeps his word when he makes a promise, who is not bound by natural laws, we should utterly, without question, ignore and reject anything that's not in line with what he says. That's the logical, reasonable thing to do. So if God says I'm more than a conqueror, then I don't care what my feelings say. If God says I'm forgiven, I don't care what it looks like or how it seems in the natural. If God says I'm healed, I don't care what it looks like or feels like. What God says is the truth, and he knows what's right from wrong. Amen? It's the rational thing to do. And your life will change forever when you get a revelation of this. Watch this now. What God says is. Let that soak just a second. What God says is. What God says is right. What God says is true. What God says is final. Amen. And God's covenant, his solemn promise to us through the Lord Jesus Christ says, you are free. You are delivered from all oppression. You are healed. You are blessed. You are protected and fully provided for. Yeah, but no, there ain't no buts to it. It's what God's word says is. But you have to believe it for it to become a reality to you in everyday life. You know, I always like to use this example. We'll run out of time here, but You know, when Elisha was telling the God's people and the king of Israel, the king of Judah particularly, he was telling them the plans of the enemy. In other words, the enemy said, we're going to go down here, we're going to attack them. And Elisha the prophet would know that because the Spirit of God would reveal it to him. And he'd go tell the Israelite captains and kings that they're going to attack you here, and they'd be ready for them. And so the enemy king, you know, he said, hey, we got a spy. Somebody, they know every move we're going to make. I'm paraphrasing, but you can read this in, I think it's 2 Kings 6. Is that where it is? And he says, they know every move you can make. And one of them said, no, that's not the deal, king. The deal is they got a prophet over there, and what you devise in your bedroom, he knows about it because the Spirit of God tells him. And so you ought to back off, you know, if you had any sense. But he said, we got to go get that guy. We got to go kill him and stop him because we can never win the battle unless we get him. So he took his entire army over to get that one prophet, Elisha. And Elisha had a servant. So one morning, Elisha's servant got up and he walked outside to get some water or whatever. I don't know what he was doing. He walked out there and there was an entire army surrounding him. And he went back in and he said, alas, that's, oh my God, we're in trouble, master. And Elisha just said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. Because he said, there's more that be with us than be with them. And so his servant thought, there's more that be with us. There's only two of us, and there's an entire army. One of their, you know, they had mighty men, just like David and his army had mighty men, just like the Israelites had. They had mighty men that could do mighty feats. Just one of his mighty men with his little finger could kill both of us without even trying hard. What do you mean there's more that be with us than more that be with them? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes of his understanding. Let him see what he cannot see with his natural senses or physical senses. Let him see what science cannot prove. Let him see what mental reasoning can never understand. Let him see into the realm of the Spirit, in other words. And so when he went outside and saw, he saw into the realm of the Spirit, and he saw a heavenly army surrounding this physical army. And this heavenly army, this host with this angels, you know, in one time in the Old Testament said one angel killed 185,000 men in one night. And that doesn't mean that was all he could kill. That's just how many that one angel killed. And so, in fact, there was more to be with them than was with them. Now, if you're just looking at that in the natural, and you're talking to Elijah and you're saying, Elijah, that don't make any sense. You're a religious nut. You're a religious fanatic. Why would you say there's more with you? We can see there's a whole army up there coming down to kill all of y'all. There's only two of you. There's not more to be with you. Yeah, there is. Well, you know why Elisha knew that? Because, see, he lived about 150 years after King David. And King David had already said in Psalms 27, though an entire army surround me, I will not be afraid. Yeah. He had already said, and I think it's Psalm 46, you know, no matter what goes on, God will protect me. God will take care of me. He didn't have to see into the realm of the Spirit. He knew that God would protect him. Why? Because he had God's word for it. And what God's word says is. And it wasn't hyperbole. It wasn't exaggeration. God said, if 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 shall fall at your right side, and if you'll believe it, but it will not come near you. Amen. You just have to believe that what God says is. Yes. But you see, we could have Dr. Fauci there, you know, and Dr. Fauci could say, you're a nut, Elisha. Science says there's not more than be with you. But was there more than be with them? Yes. Well, see, looking back, we understand that. And if you open Dr. Fauci's eyes and he looks into the realm of the Spirit and all of a sudden could see, he would go, oh, I'm the nut. What do you mean you're healed? The doctor said you've got cancer. Well, God said I'm healed. Is there any difference? Is there any difference? No, what God's word says is. And if you'll call those things that be not as though they were, in other words, it's not as though you're healed. But you call those things that be not, it's not as though you're healed. But you say, I am healed because God said I'm healed. That's what faith does. It calls those things that be not as though they were. And that's what God did when he called Abraham the father of many nations. He was calling those things that be not as though they were. We know that's so because Romans 4 tells us that. Matter of fact, let's go over and look at Romans chapter 4. Well, was God wrong? Was God lying when he called Abraham the father of many nations? Absolutely not. See, things in the natural may say it's not true, that some truth of that, you know, that what God says about you is not true. But only knowing and believing what your mind and senses tell you and leaving God out of the equation is foolish. It ignores the unseen but real spiritual world. It ignores the creator of the universe and what he says. And really, if you think about it, it's absurd and it's irrational and not smart. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. We quote that all the time, but again, what does that mean? To walk by faith means, in other words, believe what God tells you, even though you have no physical proof that it's true. You believe what God's word tells you because he knows things and sees things that you don't see. So you just simply believe what God's word tells you. Amen. He's looking at the big picture. If you only look at by what your senses tell you, then you're just looking at the little picture. Because there is a natural world and then there is a spiritual world. The spiritual world existed before this natural world existed. And after this natural world is blown apart and gone, the spiritual world will still exist. And so to only believe what the natural world says is like making a decision when you only know half the truth. Would that be very smart? No, you got to look at the whole picture. So to walk by faith, as the Word of God tells us, is to believe what God tells you, even though you have no physical proof that is true. To walk by faith and not by sight means to believe what God's Word tells you and not by what your senses and mental reasoning tells you. And that's why we are told in the Word of God to consider Jesus and what he says, and to not consider the circumstances. Don't look at the circumstances, but consider Jesus, consider the Word, glory to God, and to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Some translations say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding. You know, we quote these scriptures, and we should. We should live by them, whether we understand them or not. But if you stop and think about it, you can also know why God tells us to trust in the Lord and not our own understanding. And why he says, consider not the circumstances. And why he says, you walk by faith and not by sight. And it's not just isolated verses. Stop and think about it. There are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that say, look to Jesus, look to God, in so many words, trust in the Lord. Don't trust don't believe in the enemy. Don't trust in your own ability. Trust in the Lord. Attend to my word. Put my word first place. Consider the high priest. I mean, if you stop and think about it, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. And the reason God is telling us that is because, listen, God, you don't see the whole picture, but God does. It's just a matter of trusting and believing what he says instead of what your senses tell you. Amen. And it's the logical, reasonable thing to do. Matter of fact, it's very illogical and unreasonable to believe your senses over what God tells you. Isn't that so? I said, isn't that so? So Brother Hagin, and I'm talking about, I never heard him say this the last 20 or 30 years of his ministry, but way back in the day in the 60s and 70s and 80s, early 80s, when he was really known in the heyday of his faith teaching, he used to say this. He said, having divine light on the conditions of your situation. What does that mean, divine light? Well, God's word is light. When you have revelation, when you have the light of God's word, when you know what God's word says. So having divine light on the conditions of your situation, amen, why give a moment's thought to deceptive appearances? Having divine light on the conditions of your situation, why give a moment's thought to deceptive appearances? Under such circumstances, they are to be utterly ignored. Glory to God. See, what God says is Abraham was the father of a multitude, not when he had Isaac, but when God said it. It was true when he said it. Glory to God. And we can all see that after the fact. He was the father of many nations. And once God says something, then listen to me. Once God says something, then feelings, what we see, what we think, mental reasonings, circumstances that deny what God said. Once God says it, then in reality, those things don't have a thing in the world to do with it. They don't have a thing in the world to do with it. It's not even a part of the equation. And should not for one second be taken into our calculations or thinking. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Not a bit. That's why we are told not to consider our bodies. But, right on the other hand, we do understand that that's not always easy to do. Symptoms and pain and circumstances and things you see that say it's not true can be very unpleasant, distracting. In other words, you know what God's Word says, but you got pain working in your body. That can be distracting. That can be unsettling. That can be challenging. That can be unpleasant. That puts pressure on you to get you into fear and doubt. Amen. So you have to understand that. And the only way to overcome that is to do what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't, as Abraham, it says over in Romans chapter 4, it says he did not consider his body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah. He did not consider that. Well, if he didn't consider that, what did he consider? He considered what God said. And God said, I have made you the father of many nations. So let's look at that over in Romans chapter 4. Are you with me?
Yes.
Romans chapter 4, verse number 16. As it is written, or look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Or as the King James says, and calls those things that be not as though they were. Who, this is Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Why would you believe something that's contrary to hope? Because you got God's word on it. That he would become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. See, that was God's word. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. But we just read in Genesis that God appeared to him when he was 99. Well, 99 is about 100 years, isn't it? When he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver or stagger or doubt, could be translated either way. He did not waver, he did not stagger, he did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Glory to God, hallelujah. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. But it didn't look like he was the father of many nations. It looked impossible for him to become the father of one child. Amen. So how could he ever become the father of many nations? So watch this. Look at verse 17. This is interesting. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. In the presence of him whom he believed. Translators have a difficult time with this. In the presence of him who believed. He's talking about Abraham. Abraham's the one that believed God. God didn't believe God. Abraham believed God. And it says, in his presence, he, Abraham, believed. Some marginal notes in some Bibles translate the expression in his presence are like unto him. Abraham, like unto God, like unto him, or like God, believed things that could not be seen. Glory to God. And called those things that be not as though they were. Abraham believed God's word without any outward evidence and said, my name is Abraham. Every time he said, my name is Abraham, and he introduced himself, he said, I'm the father of many nations. Look at that old codger. He don't even have any kids, and he said he's the father of many nations. What kind of nut is he? He's not a nut, because he's got God's word. And anytime you have God's word, and you believe it, and say it, and call those things that be not as though they were, it'll come to pass in your life. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And so as we've seen, we are to believe God's word in our hearts without any doubts. And then we are to say what we believe. We must release faith. We must activate our faith. And that's what confession does. That's what's to confess the word of God. Confession just simply means to agree with or to say the same thing. We just simply say the same thing that God says. And when we say the same thing that God says, we're not lying. We're acting like God. We're calling those things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So even though there is no outward physical evidence that my need is met, I say, because I believe God's word, my needs are abundantly supplied. I have an overflowing, abundant measure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have more than enough financially. My needs are met. Glory to God. I am blessed financially right now. I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed financially right now. Amen. Amen. So faith based on God's word calls, technically to call those things means you believe. You're calling it so by faith. Amen. You believe it's true because God said it's true, not because you look any different or because you feel any different. See, so you're not lying about it. You're just saying, I believe I'm healed. Are you telling me that knot that I can see on your arm is not there? I didn't say that. I just said, I believe I'm healed according to the word of God. I call myself healed. I call myself well, regardless of what it looks like or seems like. I'm doing exactly what God did when he called Abraham the father of many nations. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to get away from this for a second. I was, you know, I've been preaching on this. This is the third message. So last Sunday, Reverend Todd Bailey was with us. So the Sunday before that, I preached on, you know, real faith that really works. And I was talking about believe in your heart and call those things that be not as though they were. Well, that was Sunday. About Thursday before that Sunday, see, I went to bed one night. And I mean, my neck, you know, not on a scale of 1-10, not a 10 level of pain, but it was like a 6 or a 7. You know, and so, you know, you just want to get in bed and find a comfortable position so you can go to sleep. Because, you know, you want to go to sleep. And so I got in bed and I got on my stomach, and I usually sleep on my stomach, and I turned my head, you know, to the right, and it hurt. So I turned my head to the left, and it hurt. So I got on my side, to my right side, and it hurt. I'm talking about hurt where you can't, you know, it hurts. And so I got on my left side and it hurt. And so I said, well, I'll get on my back. So I got on my back and I laid straight and it hurt. And I turned my head to the right and it hurt. And I turned my head to the left and it hurt. In other words, there is no position I can get in when it doesn't hurt. And so I got up, you know, because if I'm standing up and walking around or sitting up straight, you know, it doesn't hurt. You know, I can tell it's there, but it doesn't hurt too much. And I mean, praise God, I'm healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. But I want to go to sleep. But every time I, you know, try to lay down on the couch, and there it is. There's that pain. So I got where the least amount of pain was and just began to think about the scriptures, because that's the only way you can overcome it. And got a little bit of relief and dozed off a little bit, but it hurt. I had the opportunity to go fishing Friday night, and you know how many times I've turned down the opportunity to go fishing in the last 40 years? Zero. But I told my grandson, Wyatt, I said, I just can't go, Wyatt. I just can't go. And so we did that message on Sunday, and I left, and I went to my mother's house, you know, to check on her, and we got down there Sunday. And it's, you know, I gave those healing scriptures to you. How many of you got those healing scriptures? You know, and we're meditating on those things. And I'm saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And all of a sudden, this pain is not on my neck and shoulder, it kind of goes all the way down into my arm and all the way down into my upper back. And all of a sudden, my lower back on my right side lit up and it hurts. And of course, she's got three trees there that I'm needing to cut down and get the roots out of the tree. And the bottom of that tree is about, you know, it's a pretty good sized tree. And so I'm trying to do that, and it's like 95, 97 degrees there and so forth. And so, but I got all these scriptures on my mind, and I'm saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And about Tuesday morning, I woke up, and you know, sometimes when you're kind of half asleep and half awake, and your mind's not as active and your body's not as active, sometimes you can hear from the Spirit of God when you're in that. You ever had that experience?
Yeah.
And in my spirit, I begin to hear, like, why don't you call yourself pain-free? Why don't you say that you don't have any pain? I thought, well, I can't say I don't have any pain. I'd be lying. Then I thought, well, wait a minute. That's what we're always telling people. They're always saying, I can't say I'm healed when I'm not. I can't say I'm blessed when I'm not. I can't say I'm forgiven when I don't feel forgiven. I mean, the Bible does say, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. And so I just said, okay. I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm pain free. I don't have any pain in my neck. I don't have any pain in my shoulders. I don't have any pain in my lower back. I don't have any pain in my neck. I don't have any pain in my shoulders and my lower back. Glory to God. I'm pain free. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm saying that by faith. If I was just, I'm saying it by faith. I believe I'm pain-free. I didn't say I was pain-free in the natural. I said, I believe. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. And within 2 or 3 hours, I was 90% better. And got out there and cut down all them three trees. And one of them, because I want to make these trees level and smooth, so my brother who cuts her grass, his 5 acres of grass have to be cut. So when he comes, he doesn't have to go around it. So he can just go over it. I mean, one of them, I did a whole wheelbarrow full of roots. You know how that is. I mean, you're having to chop those roots and do them with your chainsaw and use an axe on them and crowbar them up and use a shovel on them. I'm on my hands and knees and a whole wheelbarrow full of them. And then I got it level. Put some dirt in it and leveled it out. Glory to God, hallelujah. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, when you do the word, guess what? It works. I got this from my son-in-law, Doug Graham. He said, I'm going to tell you a long story here, but he said, you know, I'm a teacher. I teach classes sometimes, and it's good to have positive feedback. He said, on July 29th, I hurt my back. Now, mind you, I was doing nothing I shouldn't be doing. Heather and I were doing yard work. She was mowing and I was weed eating. I was just walking at this point, doing nothing strenuous, just walking. All of a sudden, my lower back went out. Ugh. It was an icky feeling that involved pain as well. I did what I'm supposed to do, immediately said, no, bless God, I believe I'm healed. I prayed, Lord, I'm not abusing my body. I'm being studious with the land you gave me, and I accept your strength and healing. I was immediately about 20% better. That was Wednesday. This was just a couple weeks ago. I did what I'm supposed to do. Healed and well people go to church. So bless God, I promised to play on the praise team, so I'm going. Make no mistake, I'm in a sickening amount of pain. I go in faith, no better. Over the next few days, I stay in faith. I really do. Well, sort of. I'm kind of babying my back and not intentionally doing things I would normally do, and I'm taking some ibuprofen and just giving my body natural time to heal. In the meantime, I may groan. Heather says, what's wrong? I say, my back hurts. Later, Heather asked, is your back hurting? I say, it has my full attention. The next day, it's no better. Heather asked with good anticipation, how's your back? I say, because I just preached that message on the words of your mouth. I say, it hurts, it hurts. Later in the day, Heather asked, as I sigh, your back hurting? I say, all the time. The next day, Heather asked again. I say, it hurts all the time. I can't get comfortable. You understand, as a teacher and a human, I have actually done the initial steps of faith, and I'm actually fully rooted and accepting of my healing, and I'm at peace with that, but I'm sure you already see what the problem is with this story. So Sunday rolls around. First thing in the mornings, I can barely get out of bed. There's talk of whether or not I should go to church. I say, well, I'm slated to play praise and worship, and I went to Lowe's and Walmart yesterday, so I'm not going to use this as an excuse to not go. Heal well people go to church. So I go, no better. I'm playing praise and worship and can barely stand. My guitar feels like I'm wearing a car. It's Sunday, August the 2nd, and you're teaching on faith that really works. I usually go upstairs, but decided to sit in the service. Brother, I'm hurting, all caps. I'm 5 ibuprofen in and standing and walking in a very deliberate way. I remember thinking that you were teaching faith in reverse. Most faith teaching is compelling believers to believe and trust God and learn the truth. Your angle was different. It's more veteran Christians that do actually know and believe what you are saying. Man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I had done all the proper steps for faith, but what I had said for five, but I had denied my faith by what I said for 5 days. I started immediately that day. My back is strong. My back doesn't hurt unless I abuse it. My back is straight. My back is cushioned. I was asked. I responded with, it's better. If asked, it's getting better. It's getting better. It's better all the time. By now, the instant 20 results I got from praying immediately had gone for a couple of days and was as bad, if not worse, than the initial pain. By the end of Sunday, I was probably 40% better. I did it all day long. The next day, in my patrol car, was probably 10% better. The next day, I served a high-risk search warrant and worked all day, still talking to myself alone in the car. By the end of the day, another 10% better. The next day, I brought privacy fence and drug holes in the yard. and saying all the time out loud, I have stuff to do. I'm not injured. My body is the mechanical device my soul lives in. It does what I tell it to do, just like any other tool. It does what it's supposed to do and does it well. By the end of the day, another 10%, even after digging holes with a post hole digger. As you can see, those numbers don't quite up to 100%, but I'm getting there. I can't help but feel like I had couples speaking with the initial 20%. This would have been gone a long time ago. Glory to God. As a side note, I have worked in my yard a lot. My left elbow was extreme discomfort from overwork. My fault. During all this, I didn't even put the same effort into getting heals. But as I continued to speak over and say, I'm whole, I'm healed, I'm straight, I'm limber, I have a strong body. Somewhere along the line, my elbow was fixed too, and I didn't even realize it. That's the truth. I just kind of forgot about it. Anyway, that's my mile-long story. Just wanted to share it with you to encourage you about your message. I got a good one from Sheila. I got others. Many, many years ago, Brother Norville Hayes was preaching at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in Canada. A man was up front, right in the front. He had come there. He wanted, Norville to lay hands on him, pray for him. He was in a wheelchair, and his legs were visibly twisted. You know, sometimes you don't know what's wrong with somebody, but his legs are visibly twisted. And so this is during the service when people are singing, people are praising, the band is kicking, it's loud, it's noisy, people are shouting, people are praising, people are worshiping God. Norville's on the platform, and he said the Spirit of God spoke to him in his heart, and he said if this man would call his limbs straight and well, they would straighten up. If this man would call his limbs, his legs straight, they would straighten up. And so Brother Norville said, I got up and I went down there. He said, I had to get right in his ear to talk to him. And I said, God told me to tell you, if you would call, see, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. If you would call your legs straight, they would straighten out. The man just ignored Norville. Just looked straight ahead, just like Norville hadn't even talked to him. So Norville said it to him again, shouted it out to him. The Lord told me to tell you, if you would call your legs straight, they would straighten out. The man just ignored him. Norville said to him the third time, the Lord told me to tell you, if you would call your legs straight. See, that means you're going to do it by faith. They don't look straight. They don't seem straight. But by his stripes, you're world healed. And so your legs should be straight. And they can be straight. But you need to call your legs straight. If you would call your legs straight, they would straighten out. He said, finally, the man just looked at him and just very weakly, just very weakly says, I'll call my leg straight. Brother Norville said, no, that won't do it. That won't get it. You got to say it loudly. You got to say it like you mean it. And the man said, I'll call my leg straight. He said, no. I'm telling you, you've got to be bold about this. You got to say it like you mean it. You got to say it loudly. You got to shout it out. You got to say it over and over and over again. I call my leg straight. Norville told him again, no, say it boldly. Say it in faith. Say it like you mean it. You know, it's interesting. The word in Romans 4:17 where it says, call those things that be not as though they were. You know what that word calls in the Greek means? It means to utter in a loud, clear voice. It also means to utter in a commanding voice. Say it in a loud, commanding voice like you mean it. So finally, after working with the man there for a few minutes, the man finally began to say it a little louder. He said, I call my leg straight. 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 And he got louder and louder and louder, and he began to say it with boldness and confidence. Norville's working with him, encouraging him. This went on for about 10 minutes. The man said, I call my leg straight now. I call my leg straight. I call my leg straight. And after about 10 minutes, he got out of that wheelchair and walked off totally healed by the power of God. No special manifest. I mean, Norville did have a word from God, but you got that word. Amen? Stand up. Stand up with me right now. Stand up with me right now. Lay your hands on your body. Lay your own hands on your own body. You ready? Glory to God. Amen. Say this. In the name of Jesus. I command any sickness or disease or pain to leave my body. I call my body well. Say it again.
I call my body pain free.
I call my heart well.
I call my lungs well.
I call my stomach well.
I call my blood well.
I call my digestive system well.
I call my liver well.
I call my kidneys well.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Say this. Say, I call my blood pressure
normal and well.
I call my sugar levels
normal and well.
Now grab your ears. Grab your ears. Amen. Say,
I call my ears well.
Touch your eyes. Say, I call my eyes well.
I call my skin well.
I call my throat well.
I call my head
and my physical brain well.
I call it healed.
I call my shoulder pain free.
I call it well.
I call my arms
well and pain free.
I call my elbows
pain free.
I call my wrists and hands
healed and whole.
I call my legs
well.
I call my ankles
well.
I call my feet
well.
I call my
heel.
Well.
I say that because, you know, I had this when I said I call my neck and my shoulder and my back pain free, I also said I call my heel. Because I was, you know, Charlotte Broick's funeral. We did that funeral back about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And I got all dressed up. I came up here real early because, you know, there's no funeral home involved. And so we're doing the whole funeral. She's been cremated. And so I got up here real early because, you know, people are going to come in. People might be bringing food. People might be bringing flowers in. We have to be like the funeral home. And I put on a brand new pair of shoes. And I got here around 9:30 that morning, even though I didn't have to be here till like 1:30. And so I stay, you know, and we did the funeral. I think it was at 3. Then afterwards, we fed the family. And I got home around 4:30 to 5. And about the time I walked in the door, I was like, my God, I've got to come out of these shoes. And I can't take another step. I've got to come out of them this instant. I mean, my feet lit up and they were in pain and they were hurting. And I thought, you know, if I'd have been in the middle of doing the funeral service and they'd have felt like this, I'd have said, y'all are going to have to forgive me. I'd have had to take my shoes off right then and there. And they just felt weird. And I didn't put on any shoes except to come to church. I just wore sandals. And then all of a sudden, my heel on my right side lit up. And people told me that those sounded like plantus. You ever heard of that? You know, and people gave me all kind of things. They said, oh, if you do this exercise, it'll go away immediately. Another one said, oh, my doctor, you do this exercise. And I did all those exercises, and it didn't go away immediately. And other people said, oh, it's no big deal. It'll go away immediately. But it didn't go away immediately. You know when it left? That Tuesday morning when I was at my mother's house half asleep, and the Lord said, why don't you call yourself pain-free? And I said, I call my heel pain-free.
Amen. Amen.
I call my heel pain-free.
Amen.
And this few hours, it was pain-free.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say,
I call my back.
Pain-free.
Pain-free.
I call my nerves.
Well
and pain-free.
Well.
I am healed.
And pain-free.
From the top of my head. To the soles of my feet. Now this will help some people, maybe all of us to one extent or another. Let's all say it. Lay your hands on your head. Say, I command every demonic spirit.
Every evil spirit.
That brings an onslaught of wrong thoughts against my mind.
That has harassed me.
Spiritually.
Mentally.
Physically,
I command you to stop
in your maneuvers against me.
In the name of Jesus,
I am free.
I am delivered
from all oppressive
and wrong thoughts
in Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Now expect to see a difference.
Now let's say this one last one.
I call myself
financially blessed.
I have an abundant, more than enough, supply of finances in my life. I am financially blessed. Now shout and bless God and praise God and rejoice over that just a little bit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 You believe in your heart and you don't doubt, and you say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Jesus said to his disciples after he cursed the fig tree and dried up, they said, Master, look. And he said, hey, boys, have faith in God. Verily, truly, I tell you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into, shall say to it, shall speak to it, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Amen. Amen. And so call those things that be not as though they were. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I give you one last thing? We're just 2 minutes over. It's bright sunny outside. This is short. I just got to find it. This is Sheila. She wrote this to me. She says, since Sunday morning, this was like just a couple of days after that weekend, pastor scripture prescriptions, I had a shift, revelation and manifestation. The word works. Dad and I were talking that you can live free from pain. I didn't realize that I had been living with pain in my hip at a pressure point. When I was reading and meditating on he was wounded and he was bruised, it went off on the inside that I can live free from wounds, bruising, pain, and sickness. I began to declare it in my 3 times a day prescription. Last night I fell asleep on the side that had been painful without pain. I slept through the night without pain. I woke up without pain. Pain was cast into the sea. My body has been quickened and restored. Glory to God. His word is medicine to all my flesh. And if a twinge of it shows back up, what do? Oh, my God, I thought. Now you say, no, 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 you don't, devil. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, and I call myself pain free. Amen. Amen.
No matter how you feel, trust in me, and you will see that my word is true and always has been true and is true now. So now you speak, and now you believe, and now you say, and now you do. Faith is now. So do it. Believe it. Say it.
Amen. That's it. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can believe with all your heart and nothing happen until you say it. Or you can say things but not believe it in your heart and nothing will happen. But if you believe it and don't doubt and say it, you'll get results. And you know, you'll get results even though you've been struggling for years. You'll get results even though you couldn't get over the hump in the past. If and you have to understand it, everything with the El Shaddai is extremely simple and easy. Here's somebody that's a sinner.
because all have sinned and come. Everybody's a sinner that hasn't accepted Jesus. Amen? But they have a job, drink a little bit on the weekend, you know, but they're pretty good to their wife, pretty good to their kids, take care of family, but they're a sinner. The world considers them a moral person. But they're a sinner, going to go straight to hell unless they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here's a guy over here that's on drugs. He's an alcoholic. He's a criminal. He's stolen. He's raped. And he's murdered two or three people. Is it any harder for God to save that guy than it is to save this guy? Is it any harder? I mean, is it easier for God to save the moral guy than it is to God to save the hardened criminal? No. Likewise, it's just as easy for God to heal a cold as it is to heal cancer. No difference to him. Don't let that block your mind. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Oof, I could get cranked up here again. Say it. I call myself. From head to toe, healed, and pain-free. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.